We have a rich discussion ahead, and I don't want to take too much time with these housekeeping issues. So I think we'll go ahead and dive right into our introduction from Jeff Hill, who again is Director for Policy with the USAID Bureau for Food Security. So I'll hand the microphone over to Jeff.
Thank you, Julie. We're really very excited to be sponsoring this webinar with Dr. Gabriel as the primary speaker. This webinar is focused on broadening awareness of the implementation plans for the African Union Declaration on Accelerated Agricultural Growth and Transformation for Shared Prosperity and Improved Livelihoods that African heads of state and government from across Africa committed to at the AU Summit in June 2014. We're excited about this because of the strong shared goals and interests reflected in the AU Declaration and the U.S. Feed the Future Initiative. These shared goals include concerns for extreme poverty, hunger, inclusive growth, and improved livelihoods. Feed the Future is working in 19 countries and 5 subregions around the world. A majority of them are in Africa. It is focused in countries and regions where the leaders of those countries and regions are delivering on their commitments and increasing investment in agriculture and food security. As an FTF policy, for a country to be identified as a focus country, the country needed to have an externally reviewed national agriculture investment plan, and the plans submitted by our country teams were required to demonstrate how and where they were aligned with the National Agriculture Investment Plan. The new AU Declaration creates a vision for African agriculture and food security for the period of 2015 to 2025 and significantly deepens the commitments that have been made by each of the African heads of state. This webinar provides us with the opportunity to better understand those commitments and the actions proposed to be taken by the African Union, regional economic communities, and countries to implement the declaration. I'd like to introduce our primary speaker, Dr. Abebe Gabriel. He's the director for the African Union Commission Department for Rural Economy and Agriculture. Dr. Abebe has played a lead role in facilitating the consultations and negotiations that led to the development of the declaration, as well as served as the primary architect in developing the strategy and roadmap for implementation of the declaration. This webinar is very timely. It comes after significant consultations have been held with many stakeholders across Africa over the past 6 months, led by the AUCN and NAPAD, to help identify priority actions to facilitate implementation. Dr. Abebe, let me hand it over to you. We're delighted that you're able to join us from Addis, where you'll be making your presentation from.
Julie, thank you, Jeff, for that introduction. It's a great pleasure for me to share the perspectives from the African Union Commission side, as well as from, indeed, the NAPAD Planning and Coordinating Agency viewpoint. We are together in this. Both of us are, for those of you who might not know, both the African Union Commission, which is the Secretariat of the African Union, and the NAPAD Planning and Coordinating Agency, which is the technical arm of the Commission. We collaborate on this, among others. I would like to also thank those of you who have joined us this afternoon. It is in the afternoon here in Addis for this webinar. Talking about Africa's commitments on agriculture, food security, nutrition. As Jeff quite rightly alluded to, it's very important to understand what the commitments are in the first place so that we can have clarity on what we are talking about. It brings us back to 2003 Maputo Declaration on Agriculture, where the Comprehensive Africa Agricultural Development Program, which is now commonly known as CADEP, was adopted. And the philosophy behind CADEP is the priority that should be given to the agricultural sector in Africa because of both its direct impact on the livelihood of the majority of the people in Africa for the simple reason that they depend directly on agriculture, and also through its effect and impact on the performance of the overall economy in Africa because of its heavy weight. So CADEP was adopted as a framework, even though there are some confusions around whether CADEP has been a program or a framework. It's a framework. Its function is basically to guide the development and review of policies, strategies, and actions by member states. What it brought to the fore, principally, are political commitment and leadership, as well as inclusive participation of all stakeholders. And 10 years on, in 2014, when the African Union Assembly declared the year 2014 as the year of agriculture and food security, also marking the 10th anniversary of CADEP, we used the opportunity to look back and reflect on the progress made as well as the lessons learned. This week, there was a very important document that was launched by FAO, and it's called Regional Overview of Insecurity, and this is for Africa. And I just want to use some of the figures by way of looking at what progress have we been making over the last couple of decades. The information that we have in this document shows that food availability has increased by about 12% over the last two decades. Of course, the data covers for Africa south of the Sahara. Undernourishment declined from 33% to 23% over the last two decades. Poverty rate also declined by about 23%. And the message, the key messages of why Africa has made such encouraging progress is because of leadership. And I'm making reference to this FAO document, which was launched this Monday. It talks about leadership and political commitment, talks about stakeholders' participation, and it talks about involvement of the private sector. These are considered as drivers that have contributed towards such a progress, but also as drivers that we should be focusing on in terms of looking forward. Now, the 2014 Malabo commitments on agriculture that Jeff has mentioned has two important components. The first set talks about the goals, the commitment on specific goals to be achieved by the year 2025. You may consider this as a vision. The second, which is quite interrelated to this, is a commitment to mutual accountability. Now, when we look at the commitments on the goals to be achieved, we can summarize, and you can find this on our website, the declaration, the Maputo Declaration on Agriculture, about five kind of substantive commitments. One is on ending hunger. The second one is boosting intra-African trade in agricultural goods and services. And this is because the evidence indicates that Africa trades more with the rest of the world than within Africa, even though, again, evidence indicate that there is a lot of, there is a big and growing market for agricultural goods and services within Africa. So the target is to at least triple intra-Africa trade by 2025. Third is to enhance the contribution of agriculture to economic growth, but more importantly also to a significant poverty reduction objective. And agriculture is expected to contribute to at least half of that contribution to poverty reduction. This varies from country to country. The poverty reduction targets are set by the countries themselves, but what Malabo says is whatever targets the countries are setting for themselves, agriculture should make a high contribution, at least half of that, to through agricultural growth and transformation. The fourth one is about enhancing resilience of production systems and livelihoods, and this is to respond and to address the high rate of vulnerability of livelihoods and production systems in Africa. As we know, agriculture is amongst the sectors who are climate sensitive, and the impact of climate change, in particular drought and flood, has been huge, and it continues to be so. And we wanted to address through building and enhancing resilience. So this is one goal. And the fifth one talks about investment finance, enhancing investment finance in agriculture, both public and private. And one of the lessons that we have learned over implementation of CADEP over the last 10 years was that there has been a lot of emphasis on mobilizing public investment resources, which is quite right. And Malabo also makes reaffirmation of the need for public sector to continue to increase spending in agriculture. But Malabo brings this even in terms of leveraging other sources, most importantly, private sector finance in agriculture. So we can talk about these five goals to be achieved as commitments. The second set is about mutual accountability. This is very straightforward. The commitment is for African countries to conduct a biennial agricultural review process, to conduct this review process every other year, once in 2 years, starting from 2017, and the outcome of that to be reported in the January 2018 session of the African Union Assembly to the heads of state and government. And that is going to be the inaugural report. And hence, the report is going to be done every 2 years on a regular basis. So it also makes a commitment to foster alignment, harmonization and coordination among multi-sectoral efforts and multi-institutional platforms. And this arose out of realization that agriculture cannot afford to be the agenda of ministers of agriculture only. The commitments on goals indicate that ministries of trade, infrastructure, energy, transport, even health, finance, and so on are equally important. And the challenge is on how to bring these critical sectors around the table for them to co-own and provide co-leadership to the transformation agenda. Another aspect of the mutual accountability commitment is in terms of strengthening national and regional institutional capacities, in particular on knowledge and data generation and management, because we are talking about enhancing planning and policy making, implementation, tracking, monitoring, and reporting. And the demand on data is huge. The capacity on the ground in Africa for this is limited, and unless we make a deliberate effort towards addressing this, the other objectives might not be met. So this is also an important component of the commitment on mutual accountability. Following the adoption of Malabo Declaration, we went ahead together with relevant stakeholders through a very consultative process to develop an implementation strategy and roadmap, and subsequently a program of work. The strategy roadmap basically identifies key strategic action areas, about 11 of them, grouped into two categories, and implementation modalities in the roadmap, whereas the program of work based on this implementation strategy outlines the specific activities proposed for implementation. The strategy itself has two objectives. The first objective responds directly to the substantive aspect of transforming agriculture and ensuring inclusive growth. So this is the first objective. The second objective, on the other hand, talks about strengthening systemic capacity for transformation. So the first one, we may, for simplicity's sake, call it substantive. The second one, we might call it strengthening systemic capacity. Now, to make it easier for us to understand, the first objective deals with issues of, for example, doubling productivity and increased production in a sustainable manner. This is included in the declaration. Enhancing value chains, markets, trade, as well as resilience and strengthening of governance of natural resources. The second objective, which focuses on strengthening systemic capacity for transformation, dwells much on areas of capacity strengthening for planning, policies and institutional reform, strengthening leadership, coordination and partnerships, knowledge, skills and agriculture education, which I talked about earlier on, as well as data and statistics, institutionalizing mutual accountability, as well as enhancing investment financing. We have proposed, and now it has been validated, an implementation modality. Having the implementation strategy and the program of work is one thing, but in view of the multitude of institutions and stakeholders that are involved or that should be involved in implementation, a clear clarification of the implementation modalities is very much important. The first thing to clarify is that implementation is a national responsibility, first and foremost. So it's about national ownership and national leadership. As I said earlier on, implementation also is a multi-sectoral responsibility. Yes, it's the ministries of agriculture who are the holders of the portfolio, but other sectors are equally important. Within government, we are talking about infrastructure, trade, industry, health, education, and so on. But also beyond government, we have producers, the smallholder producers, the private sector, civil society, and so on. And therefore, there is a strong need for strengthening multi-sectoral co-leadership, engagement, and coordination. As an implementation modality, also, we have to recognize that there are regional and continental institutions, including our own African Union Commission, NEPAD agency, as well as regional economic communities with mandates. And the role of these institutions is basically to provide catalytic support functions, and they facilitate linkages to continental and regional strategies and plans, thus contributing to the strengthening of the systemic capacities at national level. And we have an important stakeholder and partners group, and these are development and technical partners. They have important roles, and it is mainly to provide the strategic support to the implementation at different levels, more importantly at national level, in an aligned and coordinated manner. And a system of regular review and tracking progress as part of mutual accountability helps us to tie these things together. I have already talked about the relationship between the Malabo Declaration together with the CADEP result framework that guides the tracking of progress and the mutual accountability, as well as the implementation strategy and roadmap and the program of work that arose out of it. In terms of proposed activities, we can talk about four categories. The first one is the whole issue of policy development, formulation, and institutional reform. If we want to bring about those desired changes, it will never happen without the right kinds of policies and institutions. And therefore, policy and institutional change and reform is absolutely necessary. This is number one. The second is, we have said already, the focus is implementation. And therefore, naturally, we should talk about investment program design and implementation. That's where the National Agricultural Investment Plan, the NIPES, come into picture, which Jeff was talking about earlier on. The third aspect of it is the whole issue of capacity building and coordination. This is very, very crucial. And the fourth one, and this is linked to the mutual accountability, and it is about monitoring and evaluation, about data and knowledge management. So these are the proposed activities categorized into four. In terms of early action, and I'm talking about 2015-2016 priority action areas, we have identified a number of action areas, starting from engaging countries on appraisal of their NIPES. Most of the countries have developed investment plans through a CADEP process, and now because of Malabo, things are going to change, and they should be building on what exists already in member states, and appraisal of those NIPES is going to be undertaken. The second is about the design of the biennial agricultural review cycle. I said the first review is going to take place in 2017, and we are only 2 years left, and therefore we need to finalize this design as soon as possible. In fact, our plan is to finalize it before the end of this year. The third aspect is the programmatic support for implementation. Once the NIPES have been reviewed, we need to make sure that countries are provided with the necessary support to enhance implementation. And then one aspect which is crucial, and this is also one of the lessons that we have learned, we need to harmonize and develop communication strategy around the agenda. I'm going into more details in terms of actions, proposed actions at country level. We want to clarify major streams of work and instruments that are in place at the country and regional levels. This will help us identify gaps and then develop options to ensure that the necessary services and support systems are available for implementation. We need to build technical networks. This thing will not work without putting in place, capitalizing on existing networks which are already there, but we need to build that network around thematic topics which reflect the Malabo commitments and its implementation strategy. We have been working with some of our partners with a view to identifying and agreeing on lead technical partners who have institutions with relevant mandates, institutions that have programs on the ground, and confidently and coordinate at country, co-working into the we have also started refining, in fact, we are finalizing the communication strategy. And lastly, we have started engaging our partners, including governments, to secure the financial commitments to support implementation at country level, as well as regional level. In terms of detailed actions, there are several actions. I will just very quickly mention their titles. I understand that the soft copies and the hard copies will be made available to the participants, so it should be easy to follow. In terms of detailed activities, we're talking about building and strengthening capacity.
Hi, everyone. We realize that we've temporarily lost audio, so please excuse us for a moment while we try to get Abebe's audio back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Abebe, we can hear you now, yes.
Can you tell me where you lost me, at what stage?
Maybe only 30 seconds or so of your last content.
Okay, I was talking about detailed activities at the country level. I was outlining about three of them. I'll just rehash very quickly. One was building and strengthening capacity for evidence-based planning, implementation, review, and dialogue. The second, I talked about review and implementation of policies and institutional reforms to strengthen leadership, management, and technical capacity. Thirdly, I spoke about strengthening local ownership and leadership to champion agriculture through CADEP and align coordination and implementation partnerships through strengthening multi-stakeholder coordination platforms. Fourthly, I spoke about enhancing skills and knowledge and agricultural education. And the fifth was on strengthening data and statistics for evidence-based planning, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation and review process. The sixth was establishing and institutionalizing mutual accountability mechanisms with regular peer reviews and strong dialogue platforms. Seven is to identify and enhance innovative financing models for increased public and private sector finance for investment in agriculture along the value chains. Yeah, so these are some of the detailed actions that we need to launch in the countries. And talking of country ownership and country engagement, last week we had held a retreat with permanent secretaries of agriculture of African Union member states, together with the CADEP focal persons. And the purpose was to consult and agree on the necessary steps to be taken to implement the commitments, the Malabo commitments. The retreat appreciated and came to agreement, actually, as by way of adopting KSN, as well as immediate next steps to be undertaken. The proposed activities, which I had earlier on outlined, have been validated. Implementation arrangements and the review process have been agreed. Now, each country will, as necessary and as relevant, depending on their situation, will embark on working on their respective NIPs, the investment plans, to respond to the commitments and to embark on the review process. In October this year, we are going to convene a ministerial conference. It's called the African Union Specialized Technical Committee, STC, on Agriculture, Rural Development, Water and Environment. So this brings together sector leaders, ministers from related agriculture-related ministries, and it is a kind of organ. It's an organ of the African Union, so it's a policy organ of the Union. One of the things which we will table for that meeting is the operationalization, the agreement that was reached by the permanent secretaries, as well as the review cycle, the instrument and methodology of the review for adoption by the ministers. Of course, their report will be submitted to the January summit of the African Union for endorsement. So in terms of country engagement, we are making some headway. We understand that we are late. Malabo was adopted last year in June, in 2014, and we have been working on the strategy, partners, and so on. But last week's retreat with the permanent secretaries was the first direct interaction to undertake conversation with them on operationalization of Malabo commitments. And it was a very productive, very fruitful retreat. Now, I was also asked to talk about expectations from the donors, donor expectations vis-a-vis country engagement. I've talked at length about the country ownership and country leadership of these commitments. That is very important, but equally important is the involvement and active participation of all the stakeholders, including the donors. The expectation from donors is straightforward. I'm not going to talk, going to be very innovative in this regard. It's common sense. First is to align their support to the priorities as defined by the countries themselves. We have already said that countries, number one, should prioritize agriculture. Number two, prioritize the Malabo commitments, because they are going to be measured. The progress is going to be measured. And there is a positive feedback from the countries that this is going to be so. So we would expect our partners, donors, to also support this process, not to replace it or to undermine it or to engage in a parallel process. So this is a very important, strong comment. I must use this opportunity to appreciate the effort of the USAID. Jeff Hill has been very supportive of this event, this approach, and already we have seen some progress in that, and we want to encourage. The second one is we also expect donors to coordinate amongst themselves, you know, their efforts, for them to work together, and that would facilitate the country engagement itself. It would really ease the burden on the part of the countries to work with that kind of coordinated approach. And it would be good if some of our donors take lead in terms of motivating and encouraging other partners to come around the table to support this agenda. The third, perhaps, is to agree to work within the framework of and the parameters of mutual accountability. We have developed the CADEP result framework, and this framework was developed in continuous consultative process. Our partners have been part of this, and we expect now, in terms of operationalization, our partners to agree now to work within such a framework. The fourth one is in terms of the efforts of our donors to work towards leveraging investment finance, both public and private. Already there are some progress in this area, but we want to learn from those and expand it. Some of our donors have some experience on how this can be done. That platform, the donor platform, which I was talking about, which would facilitate coordination among themselves, can also be used for lesson learning amongst themselves on how the public and private finance, investment finance, can be leveraged through the actions, deliberate actions by our partners. Sorry, it seems I have taken more time than I was given, but I would like to thank you. This ends my presentation. Julie, over to you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Abebe. We really, really appreciate your presentation. It came through loud and clear for the most part. And, we've gotten a lot of questions coming in, so we'll ask a couple shortly. I would just like to make sure that everyone on the webinar knows that this event is being recorded. And so if you had to step away or you missed anything, we will send a recording out to everyone who joined today or anyone who registered for the webinar, along with a transcript that should make it easy for you to read through these points. We're also working to get the PowerPoint presentation available for you all so that you can review anything that you missed there as soon as possible.